We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NBA is in full swing and college basketball has March Madness. The tournament is here and so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness Contest, as BetOnline is the spot for all your bracketology needs. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets and it's free to sign up. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus as you're on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. From rare dead stock to latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Me will be raffling off 4 custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you in a drawing for a 1-on-1 pair of Air Force One low tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @ArmchairMe on Twitter or Instagram. Welcome in, you guys, to another Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host. Brought to you by Armchair Mia. #, take a seat. Well, guys, we have the Elite Eight, as we're now down to 8 teams. And this has been kind of an odd March Madness. I don't know. It's just, I haven't really watched much with this time around, and well, for one thing, I guess maybe it's because, well, there's no Big East, no ACC teams left. They're all gone. I mean, Florida State was the last holdout, and Syracuse, let's not forget them, as they lost to Houston. I mean, look who we have left. We have Gonzaga, USC, Michigan, UCLA, Baylor, Arkansas, Oregon State, and Houston. Kind of a weird group of teams, but let's see here. We got 10 Pac-12 teams, 1 Big Ten, 1 Big 12, 1 SEC, and 1 mid-major, West Coast Conference, Gonzaga. We got Gonzaga playing USC, Michigan playing UCLA, Baylor playing Arkansas, and Oregon State facing Houston as Kelvin Sampson's, you know, he's back in the tournament. I mean, it's no surprise. I mean, it's Kelvin Sampson, but still. But looking at the one side of the bracket with the West and East, Gonzaga faces USC. I don't know. I mean, USC's been playing pretty hot. I mean, well, look who they've played. I mean, they beat Kansas, and Kansas obviously wasn't great. USC really has been challenged a whole lot. I mean, they beat Oregon pretty good. They destroyed Kansas, and they beat Drake. So they haven't really been challenged, but, well, neither has Gonzaga. I mean, Gonzaga played Norfolk State. They beat Oklahoma, and they beat Creighton. So neither one of these guys has been challenged. So this is obviously going to be a close game, I think. That's just how I feel. I mean, this game is going to be close because neither one of these guys has been challenged, and that's how it's going to go. but I could be wrong. Then we got Michigan, UCLA, and UCLA, you know, they beat Bama in overtime to get the Elite Eight. They gave up a buzzer beater three-pointer. And we'll get into the whole meme I put out there about UCLA and you know, a certain basketball coach. But Michigan, UCLA, Michigan probably, I think, is going to wipe them out. I think it'll be too much. Baylor and Arkansas. Now, this is going to be a good one as well because Baylor had to go through Hartford. Well, Hartford sucked, but they had to play Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's always a tough draw. Then they had to play Jay Wright and Villanova, and you know, they had to grind out that win. Arkansas had to, they had Texas Tech in the round two. That was a tough game because Chris Beard. And then they had to play Oral Roberts, and they beat them by two. And they were down for most of that game. I mean, when you got to play a mid-major but that has nothing to lose, like an Oral Roberts or Loyola Chicago, that's a big thing. You know, I just wonder where these mid-majors were when Pitt was, you know, in the tournament. You know, when Pitt had to play these mid-majors and these mid-majors had games out their ass, or they had some player who just came out of nowhere and became a lottery pick or, you know, became a big star. It always happened to Pitt no matter what. It just always happened. Oregon State faces Houston as Jeff... not Jeff Long. Who's the person again that screwed us over really bad? Not Jeff Long. Ugh. I'm happy I forgot his name, but... Oh, that's right. Scott Barnes. Scott Barnes is obviously enjoying the Elite Eight. Must be nice after what he did the Pitt. Replacing them with a, Don't mind me, I'm pouring my coffee. As you know, he decided to, he was so excited about hiring Kevin Stallings as our new coach to replace a longtime coach at Pitt. Probably one of the best coaches we've ever had at Pitt. Yep, with Kevin Stallings. And then he bolts for Oregon State. And obviously he's living La Vida Loca now because now he's in the Elite Eight. He gets to enjoy that, whereas we haven't been back to the tournament since he took over as AD. You know, it's just short tenure here as AD. I'm not sure if he was AD 2016. I don't think he was AD then. Because, let's see. When did Capetto do? Did he start 2014, 20? Yeah, he was... I take that back. He was still AD when Pitt was... They made the tournament one last time. But ever since he made the Stallings hire, Pitt has not been back. And whereas Scott got to leave and now he's on easy street, I guess. Yeah, it sucks. But they're going to face Houston, and I hope Houston wipes them off the planet. I mean, we're looking at a Houston-Baylor Final Four game. And possibly Gonzaga and Michigan. I like to see Gonzaga win it all because I think it'd be an awesome story for Mark, in terms of Mark Few. I mean, the guy's been at Gonzaga forever. And we always thought of him as for a while in a tournament, he had some, issues where he just, he had good teams and then they would go out in the first or second round. I mean, but they played for the title not too long ago and now they're here. And he's done a hell of a job with them. I mean, most coaches would have left and took bigger jobs, but he hasn't. But I'm probably going to go with, I think I like a Zag in the final against Probably Baylor. I think Gonzaga and Baylor. I like to see Gonzaga win it all. I think part of me thinks Michigan may beat them, but because, you know, I think the NCAA would love to have Michigan in the finals because it's good for TV ratings. Although I think a lot of people love to see Gonzaga because they've always been a great story. I mean, for the longest time, they've always been a great story. But, you know, the NCAA likes certain things, and so I'm sure a Michigan-Baylor final would be up their alley. So I can see that happening. I mean, probably winner of Michigan-UCLA. Well, if UCLA somehow beats Michigan, I don't see them getting past Gonzaga. So, or, you know, USC can beat Gonzaga. I mean, there's plenty of possibilities here for the NCAA, you know, for the final. Now, speaking of this whole March Madness thing, I posted a tweet about had a picture of Jamie Dixon, you know, like sitting like he's just, you know, either deep thought or something, and I just said, and then the caption said, "That was my Elite Eight. I should be coaching them. Damn buyouts." And I got a like from Dave Wonstadt. And I'm not sure, you know, maybe Dave just thought it was funny, or maybe Dave, you know, Dave was at Pitt for a while when Jamie was there, so maybe he knows something that we don't. I'm not sure, but I just thought that was humorous. I mean, I did talk to Mac Engel. Not really talk, we exchanged emails, because he wrote an article about how TCU has not been the same since Jamie Dixon tried to go to UCLA, and he's correct. But, you know, Mac understands why Jamie wanted to go to UCLA. His family's there and they're getting old. And, you know, I can understand that. And plus, if UCLA gives you a call, you got to take the call. If they want to hire you, you got to go. I mean, that's just how it goes. If they call, you go. But one thing that Mac mentioned to me is what's been happening with Jamie is he's lost players, and the way the NCAA is now is you gotta recruit players and flip them, or if you get transfers, you gotta flip them, and they gotta be able to play. They gotta be able to contribute and play right away because players just leave now. I mean, and that's basically what was kind of Jamie's undoing at Pitt at the end. He lost the whole recruiting class, and he was scrambling to find players. And at one point, he was bringing guys that they just weren't good. They were just bodies. And you got to be able to bring guys who can play right away, that can contribute. And as we all know, if you remember how Jamie's system was, you'd have a lot of guys who maybe took 2 to 3 years, sometimes 4 years to develop in his system. And it doesn't help you when you're losing players. Because you don't have much time to develop them. That's just that's just how things have changed in the NCAA. I mean, with the transfer portal and all, just so much has changed now, and it's hard to keep guys around for extended periods of time. I mean, if they're not getting playing time, they're gonna go elsewhere now, freely. I mean, I don't think we'd have been able to survive early in Dixon's years with the way the portal is now. I mean, playing those guys, I think probably would have left and went somewhere else for playing time. Thank God they didn't. Thank God it didn't happen. But it's just a lot's changed, and it's not that Jamie's a bad coach. He's a great, he's a great game day coach. We've seen it. I mean, he's had his blunders in the tournament. We know. I think if he was the coach of UCLA when Bama hit that tying three, if it was him, they would have hit the three and they would have got fouled probably, and they would have hit the free throw and then went to Elite Eight, because that's just how it goes. But overall, I mean, I thought he was a nice guy, great coach. And it's been 5 years now since he's left Pitt. Last week was 5 years since Jamie Dixon left Pitt, and looking back at it, was it a bad idea to let him go? I mean, sure it was. I mean, if you look at it now, I mean, what decisions were made. I mean, let's be honest. He did have his 1 foot out the door. I mean, he has foot the door for a while. Probably since Peterson left, he had his foot out the door, and he was looking to go. And of course, you know, Scott Barnes basically let him go, and they lowered his buyout and said, "Hey, yeah, you can have him." And he went back to TCU to work for Dal Conney, and Shaka Smart, as you know, has left Texas, and Dal Conney needs a coach. Does Dal Conney take a look at Jamie Dixon? Possibly, but I don't think Jamie is going to be a sell for Texas because he hasn't done well in the last 2 years. I mean, this past year, he has first losing season ever in his career. So I don't think he's going to be a good sell for Texas, who basically, you know, loves firing their football coaches. I mean, Tom Herman was supposed to be the next best thing. I mean, he was the prodigy of, you know, of of Mac Brown, and look what happened. I mean, I always feared if we let Jamie go that it'd be disastrous because looking at our football hires, a basketball hire would be much as disastrous. And it was. We replaced him with, I mean, we could have went with a very underwhelming hire, like a coaching assistant, like an assistant coach. Instead, we went with Kevin Stallings. And, you know, Stallings, he was never really welcome to Pitt. And it's because we were all shocked that, you know, we went through this whole process and that was who we ended up with. And he comes and the team falls apart after the Duquesne loss and recruiting fell apart. I mean, although he did have Marcus Carr and Parker Stewart turned out to be really good players, although Parker Stewart's having some issues now because he's transferring now because Archie Miller got fired. I mean, Archie was supposed to be, you know, the unsung hero at Indiana. And not that Archie's a bad coach. I mean, it's Indiana, and of course, ever since Bob Knight left, they haven't really been the same. I mean, Mike Davis got Indiana to the finals, and they ended up firing him anyway. But yeah, overall, I have some regrets over letting Jamie go, and I think maybe if we keep Jamie, I don't know. I think he gets us back to the tournament. But the way the portal's going, I'm not sure. I mean, he's getting paid pretty well at TCU, and TCU has more money to give to him than we do, and although we have ACC money, but Texas got a lot of, TCU's got plenty of, you know, oil and gas, you know, a lot of rich guys that love their sports. I mean, and plus, Jamie's got the whole state of Texas, lots of basketball talent to tap from. He's got the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So he's got a much more fertile ground to recruit from than he did at Pitt. Pitt, he had to go, you know, New York, and when we left the Big East, he had to go down to the whole coastal to find players. So, I mean, it's not like he's struggling. You know, he has a hard down there. He's got plenty. He's got a big recruiting landscape. But looking back, it was, yeah, letting him go wasn't a great idea. But I understand why he left. I mean, when you have a new boss, you know, do you stay with your new boss? I mean, obviously, you may not mesh well, and he went to go work for Falcone. So they're buddies, and that just happens. And guys, let me tell you about BetOnline. It's the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The Elite Eight starts tonight. And BetOnline has you covered for all that, all the spreads. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. It's free to sign up. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. Of course, I jumbled that. And also, guys, don't forget eBay. Rare Deadstock, the latest releases. And, of course, Armchair Media is raffling off 4 custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers. We're entering a drawing for 1-on-1 pair of Air Force 1 Low Tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to Armchair Media on Twitter or Instagram. And, of course, also with eBay sneakers, they have the authenticity guarantee where they check your sneakers to make sure they're legit and you're not getting some knockoffs. And it's free to sell sneakers on eBay as well. If you're selling for $100 or more, they're not going to hit you with any fees like most people do. So go check out, you guys, ebay.com/sneakers. Now, Pitt did land a player last week. They landed a transfer from Hawaii by the name of Melquis Stovall. And I did some reading up on him. He's obviously close with Brendan Marion, who's the wide receiver coach at Pitt now, who came from Hawaii from Todd Graham. He gives me a lot of DJ Turner vibes. He seems like he's a big play guy. Because, I mean, DJ Turner obviously had some potential in Maryland. He had his flashes, and he never really got a good chance. And I think, of course, towards the end of Turner's career at Maryland, he just I don't think he played the last year, I think, because he had some issues. And he came to Pitt and tore it up. And I think if the way, with Mark Whipple, who loves to throw the ball, I think that Melquis may have an opportunity here. And I think he does definitely, to me, he does definitely have a just ring about him. He gives me the same vibe from what DJ Turner did for us, where DJ was a monster in the second half of the season. But, I love the wide receiver depth, and I'll take it any way I can. But, yep. And of course, spring football is in session, but they've had to stop here and there because of COVID, and that's just going to be, things we have to deal with. I mean, as far, with the whole, COVID thing, I mean, the country is opening up. I mean, I can say down here in Houston, it's definitely opened up. I mean, it's ever since the governor left the restrictions. I mean, there's more traffic on the road. I mean, it's basically, more people are getting vaccinated too. So, I mean, it's just definitely, how it's going to be. But all I can hope for is that less cases and people staying safe, Let's hope that definitely 2021 is a much more bigger and brighter. Hopefully we're seeing them in arenas and stadiums and whatnot. I'll be seeing any arenas or stadiums. Not because, I'm scared. It's because, I don't feel like buying the tickets and paying for parking. I'd rather just watch it on TV. But that's just me. Anyways, guys, I have nothing much to add today, so I'll leave you here. Hope you have a great week.